Okay, Greg, I think we're just not going to wait for any other directors. Let's just start.
So we have your finance?
Yeah, buddy.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you to some people in the room and not in the room. There are people on the staff and also here at the state.
Hold on a
second. I decided not to come to this.
Okay, go ahead, Greg. Well, first of all, some thank yous to people on the staff here at KPFK, Eva and her staff for her heroic efforts to keep this thing going and keep us all comfortable and providing all the amenities. And also the national staff, Don Gates, who's not in the room now, and people, oh, there she is, right in the corner, who handled the logistics. And to the board and all the listeners. I want to start in a perhaps unusual way for Pacifica with some positive because, you know, despite all the battles and the disagreements and the limitations that we're facing, still, let's face it, we produce some of the most politically significant and culturally diverse and educational radio that's available in the country, and its board, all of you here, despite any shortcomings, do try their best, and I can attest to that, to reflect constructive values, and often at great personal sacrifice. Now, for myself, I have been feeling a lot of pressure to change since the last 60 days. 60 days ago, approximately, I reported to you, naively perhaps, as to all the things that I might be able to do. And since then, many people have been waiting to see whether I'm going to fall into one quote-unquote camp or another, whether I'm going to take sides in some of the many disputes that bubble up around here. They're watching, and they're waiting, and waiting to judge. To judge based on their assessments of the changes that are needed and on their local and their group or their individual needs or grievances. And I say unfortunately because I'm bound to disappoint some people, maybe starting right now. From what I've heard, there's really no way to satisfy all the expectations that are being projected. And you've heard some of that today. And the executive director, despite what anybody thinks, doesn't have the power to transform Pacifica. And even if I did, you wouldn't really want me to. On the other hand, I may be able to help in some ways. And one of the ways is to help you and help myself in the process to find some common ground. And I'm still as dedicated to that as I was 2 months ago. But the current mode of operations, which I would describe as winner-take-all, doesn't provide the best starting point. Despite the fact that we are bringing proportionality into our process through the election process, I'm afraid that, from my perspective, Pacific hasn't brought the same spirit into its actual decision-making. The elections are proportional, but the governance is winner-take-all. And that's a major problem. And it tends to bleed into the operations, since staff tend to take their cues from how decision makers operate. And the fact that every general manager is, or program director, is under attack and under fire doesn't help. What we have, I think, instead of an openness to finding common ground right now is, with certain exceptions, of course, kind of a siege mentality. And sometimes we refer to it as protecting turf. So, you know, what can I do about that? Well, I think personally, I have no choice but to move pretty slowly. That means I have to support the current managers and the staff, while at the same time, and this is something I will be working on in the next 3 months, developing a fair, objective criteria to judge their performance and their effectiveness with a plan of action, but also, at the same time, resisting the temptation to become embroiled in every dispute. And there are certainly more than a few going on. I'm going to talk a little bit about them just for a moment. As my colleague, where is he? Is he in the room here? Ron at WPFW says sometime, I'll be blunt. Okay? In New York at WBAI, there are a number of ongoing battles between factions. There are morale problems. And there is a pattern of missing or poor communication. I'm going to talk about a couple of examples of that, that I've been asked to clarify. For example, in New York recently, there was a lot of brouhaha over a visit that my colleague here, Lonnie Hicks, made to New York around his attempting to get access to account information. A lot of talk on the internet, a lot of loose talk in meetings about him and former executive director visiting banks, what he was intending to do, credit cards, a lot of things that simply didn't turn out to be true. I looked into this. I've actually I've written a letter to the LSB in New York about this about a week and a half ago, and I saw nothing that damaged the health of the organization. Another example of the same sort of thing is the negotiations around Gary Null, that was brought up the other night. Yes, we did have conversations between Bernard and myself and Indra about that. We looked into whether it was possible to bring him back on the air on a temporary basis. We contacted him, and we found that it wasn't possible. Nothing was done, nothing is happening, and Gary made the decision for himself. So if you hear rumors about struggles, people being excluded, power plays being done, I think twice about that. But we do have a problem of communication and factionalism in New York. At WPFW, as in New York, there's an ongoing struggle over the programming schedule, and whether, as you've heard here, I think, perhaps not today, but at other meetings, about the Latino community getting its fair share of the airwaves. There's charges that the station is playing too much jazz and not enough news and public affairs, and questions even about the legitimacy of the recent elections. At KPFT, there's a struggle going underway there, as we well know, involving activists, Latin Americans, and Latinos that claim that the station and its management aren't sufficiently serving their communities. And as in New York, this battle spills over into the board in various ways. And one way is through questions that have been asked this weekend about managers' participation at these meetings. I want to set that confusion to rest. I asked Ernesto Aguilar, sitting over there, to come to this meeting along with Bernard and other program directors because this weekend we are focusing intensively on programming. I also talked to Dwayne about his attendance at the Texas Music Award. I made a command decision about who should attend. I did not think it was a useful use of our resources to fly the general manager here to answer questions for 15 minutes. Now, there may be dissatisfaction about that. I find nothing in the bylaws or in any administrative procedures, which frankly don't exist, to say that he must be here at every meeting. Now, at subsequent meetings, we may find that KPFT is a subject of primary consideration, just as WBAI is being looked at very closely now, and at that time he will surely be here. But I have to make these kinds of decisions, and I am. I wanted you to be focused on programming, and that is why I've made the decisions that I've made. This may not satisfy people, but it's part of the job. And as I say, I can't satisfy everyone. There's been a vacuum of management at KPFA for so long that more than three qualified people have turned down invitations to become its general manager just within the last 2 weeks. I'm still looking for somebody for that job. I hope that I would be able to come in today and announce that position. I'm not able to do that. I get weekly complaints about unruly staff and LSB activities. It's very hard to know how I can intervene constructively in that or whether I should. These are just some of the problems that I've been dealing with over the past 60 days. Now, people often ask me, in the context of all this, what's my vision of Pacifica? And I think what they may mean is, how do you think that it should be different in terms of its programming, its relationship with the larger media community, how it's structured, how it's staffed? But unfortunately, my response is a little bit more philosophical than that, also may not be satisfactory, because my vision right at the moment is that Pacifica will someday, very soon, stop making war on itself. And that it's many. And that it's many talented and dedicated people will do within Pacifica what the mission says. Look at the causes of conflicts and seek lasting understanding between people. When we can do this here, at home,
then we'll be truly effective in projecting that mission out into the world. This is a pretty modest vision. It's a vision of process that stresses tolerance, mutual respect, real diversity. But even though it's modest, it's a pretty extraordinary and huge undertaking, and it requires, I think, on the part of all of us, a leap of faith and an act of collective will. Someone said to me recently, talking about how to deal or the how they deal with conflict, they said to me, I treat people with respect as long as they treat me with respect. And my response was, that was a pretty low goal. You know, that's easy to do. It's when people don't treat you with respect that's when it really counts. I know this sounds like a kind of a sermon, and I want to apologize for that, but since I've said that I won't use force, what I call negative power, to effect change here, all that's really left is persuasion, positive power. And so I have to work with that, and sometimes it gets a little preachy. Now, I want to talk about the mission for a minute, what we call, we're talking about mission-driven program. I actually prefer to think of it as mission-inspired rather than driven. And I'd like to point out what we're really talking about when we refer to Pacific as mission. These are statements from the mission statement, from the statement that you have in that green book. All right, I've excerpted it, okay? An outlet for the creative skills and energy of the community. Not of all communities, but of the community as we define it. And I hope to address this through national programming, through partnerships with independent and community-based media groups, with outreach that includes training, technical support, and promotion that encourages progressive organizations. This is a specific initiative that I'm working on now for new non-commercial licenses that are going to be available before the end of the year. I'll talk just a moment about that, because I'm talking now with Prometheus Radio, which is involved in initiating a study, because for the first time in many years, there's going to be a whole series of new non-commercial licenses open. And what we want to do, and I think you'll be receiving a motion on this, is we want to participate in this with FSRN and with NFCB, to participate in a study and outreach, not so much to start a new station ourselves, although, you know, you could consider that an option down the line, but to promote others to do that. And so I would like to join with them in that effort. Also, we're talking about Latino programming. We have we're awaiting a budget now. People have been asking me about that. We have a program proposal. We've discussed it this week at the operations group. There's a general agreement on the nature of it, and all we're waiting for is to put the numbers down, and we're hoping that will be on the air by May. I talk about partnerships with producers. One of the ways is another lingering item is that, as you know, one of the lingering controversies involves a series of computers that were bought about a year ago. Well, we can look into what happened and who did what and who didn't do what, but once we get through with that, we still have 18 computers, many of which have never been taken out of their boxes. And so what I'm going to try to do is develop a useful contract and identify community groups with whom we can constructively partner. I'm going to mention a few other goals, because Dave is already rubbing his eyes. Okay, I thought I used up my time already. Another goal, promoting and aiding cultural activities. You know, when arguments erupt over whether we air too much music or not enough news or political affairs, I think we ought to keep in mind that cultural offerings also have an important role to play in this network. And each community has a different culture and some different short and long-term needs. So, you know, let's not lose sight of that. It is about issues, it is about politics, but it's not only about that, because change happens in many ways. Contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and people. That's another part of our mission. And this points to the need for dialogue within communities across this entire network and with other groups in other parts of the world. And I just say, monologue rarely leads to lasting understanding. And in that regard, you know, specifically, we have a race and nationality policy that was adopted in November of 2004. And I'm hoping that by acting on that as part of an issue-based national programming, a mission-inspired national programming policy, we can turn what has been a somewhat debilitating argument into a chance for educational dialogue on the air. Another goal, to promote the study of political and economic problems and the causes of religious and philosophical and racial antagonism. I mean, we actually do pretty well in this area, but sometimes, and I may offend some people here, our approach, in my opinion, veers into discussion that crosses the line into less than constructive polemics. We have to guard against becoming antagonistic ourselves as we try to unravel the truth. We are in the education business, first and foremost. And business, there's another word, I've used that terrible word again, as I promised I wouldn't. Promote the full distribution of public information. This points to a strong role for our affiliates and attention to emerging venues. As I've mentioned, the new licensing project is one area. And access to and sources of news not brought together in the same media. This points to a strategy that incorporates more than just traditional radio broadcasting, brings in the best in print, TV, film, and other media. And in that regard, I've begun discussions with Free Speech Television to, as we develop national programming through the rest of this year, for a possible joint venture, and we will begin talking about some grants that we might apply for. Hiring, I'm going to go pretty quickly. The search for a permanent technical director is on, and the long-term needs of Pacifica aren't really fully defined. But my personal feeling in this area is that we can't wait to make some initial steps. We have to upgrade training and technical assistance for the stations and affiliates and implement an independent producer outreach system with equipment, as I mentioned, that we already have in hand. And for that reason, I have decided to fill that position on an interim basis while keeping the search open for someone to fill the position on a long-term basis. And I've asked John Elmella, who many of you know, accept this challenge. He's an audio production engineer for more than 20 years, worked with Atlantic Records, runs his own company, and worked as a national broadcaster and engineer for Pacific for the last 4 years. Sometimes when we're streaming meetings, not today, but often he's the one who's making sure it comes through loud and clear. On KPFA, I've already mentioned that I had attempted to fill that position. I was pretty confident at first that it could be done, but there was a last-minute snag, and I have approached more than six candidates already, and many of them have declined. And I just feel it would be very unwise to make a selection simply to meet the deadline that either you imposed or I imposed on myself. So I have to say with regret that that position is going to remain vacant until I'm sure that the selection will really address the need for a proactive, fair, and independent management of the station. I also think this decision is going to have an impact on donors and our ability to sustain an economic base. And even a short-term decision in this area is going to send a pretty strong message, and so I want to be very careful in what I do. We're also recruiting for a national election supervisor for corporate counsel, as I mentioned earlier. Now, as of today, to develop a job description to return to you for program coordinator. I'm going to not go into much else here. We're working on human resources, as some of you know, handbooks and postings and a uniform process for evaluation. And programming we've discussed a lot. I brought an ask to be here, some new people and some old faces, both here to be engaged in the programming discussion. But let me just ask one more question before I close. It's a question to all of us. What are we trying to accomplish here? Are we trying to expand an extraordinary radio network to support programming that addresses the mission that I've described to you? Or are we trying to create a government? If it's the latter, we're doing quite a job. We have local and national legislative bodies. We have factions that could soon become political parties. We have expensive and politicized elections. We have dropping turnout, endless political gamesmanship, and the emergence of calls for the creation of what some might describe as judicial bodies. But if it's the former, to produce radio that it challenges and informs and enlightens, I think we need to rethink this experiment. Take it back to the shop and debug it as soon as possible before it makes accomplishing the mission nearly impossible. And I'll just conclude with this. The goal that I, and I said this in my report, the goal, I think, is to find ways to unleash tremendous, often latent potential that's within and surrounding the network. In other words, working synergistically, not just within ourselves, but with a larger media community that we sometimes lead and sometimes follow, an independent media movement of which we are just one part in the end, and that helps us to move forward together. And I just think it's long past time that this organization retakes its place as the leading voice and a moving force in community-based media. And so I'll entertain your questions. Thank you.
Based on the schedule, we have less than 3 minutes, but I'd like to suggest we take 15 to be able to talk to our ED. Is there any objection to spending 15 minutes further? Okay. We will. Don't worry, we'll get there. Is that a comment on the motion to extend that?
People bend their elbow a little bit. It's just a little easier for me to
react to it. So, okay, we have 15 minutes. And,
Well, I'm one of those who didn't cheer for your comments, Greg, because listening between the lines there, I have to say that I appreciate your recognizing that there's conflict in Houston. You were exposed to people who are disaffected at the station when you were in Houston. As the person who best represents those voices, I have to say that listening to what you've said today, I know that you're making my job much more difficult, if not impossible. The need for those people to be participants in the program decision making at KPFT to some extent, or to participate in the programming process, whatever, is what's at stake here. It's not about political gamesmanship. It's about not being the winner-take-all mentality. But Houston is no different from any of the other networks where that game is played. In any case, the decision not to allow the general manager to come here and be accountable for the station, for the fiduciary responsibility he bears, and which the people who elected me feel he is not well fulfilling, was made at the expense of a board decision that those general managers need to be here. That decision was made on a conference call in which you were present. And I say that if you had a different agenda in mind, as you just articulated today, you had an obligation to tell us about it then when the board articulated the will to have those general managers here to answer questions regarding the presentation or the reports. So I am put on notice now that I can expect a posteriori changes from you in what the board directs in terms of its PMB agenda.
I've listened to the same tape you listened to, and I come to a different conclusion.
Yeah, I hear you. But I've got the transcript with me, and I could read it out loud if people are interested.
I think we've all made the transcript. Thank you.
But I would like to ask you another question. Part where you talk about autonomy, about creating a national programming hub and so forth and so on, it seems to me that in your draft and indication, you're talking about underutilization of existing programming resources. Is that correct?
Part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Obviously.
I'd like to get to the question of the flagship programming for Pacifica. The two that I consider the two flagship news programs that are featured on our website are Flashpoints and Democracy Now! We don't control the latter anymore, but we do continue to subsidize the former, and both are pretty well featured on our website as they should be.
You left out Free Speech Radio News.
Well, we don't produce that. I'm talking about what we produce or have produced. Free Speech Radio News is not ours.
30 seconds.
So in any case, what I'm asking is, since only one of those shows, each of those shows is only featured once in prime time, once Democracy Now! Is on once at drive time in any of the stations. Flashpoints is only on once at drive time or prime time in any one of the stations. What do you plan to do as general manager, as executive director, to improve the implementation of these resources at times that are accessible to people?
I think it's a great accomplishment that we, 10 years ago, launched an incredible national show that is now heard not only on this network, but far beyond. I think that the discussion about whether Democracy Now is on 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or once or twice misses the point that we have a lot of other programming that we need to develop. I value tremendously, and I will be meeting with Amy in April to discuss her future with the network, but I think we miss the point if we focus so exclusively and obsessively on one issue. These are local station matters and need to be resolved as much as possible at the local level. I don't intend to force this station to broadcast this at any particular time, and I think that you have to simply work this out at the local level. But I will give you one point in this, is that I think that the winner-take-all game is being played at your station just as it's played elsewhere. And I have spoken to Dwayne about that, and I've asked him to reconsider that attitude.
Alan, before that goes on, since we're going to have to skip our lunch break as well. Eva's arranged for some of the food that we were going to eat. It's not a full dinner. Our full dinner is scheduled at 9, but that's not going to happen. At Rick's at the Figueroa Hotel. And she just, do you want to repeat? Because I have trouble believing it. Go ahead, you say it.
The invitation is for everybody, and it's free to the public and everybody else. What's so hard to understand?
Because I don't think the significance of an offer to invite the entire audience to come to Okay, so before we disrupt, wait, let's keep it together, folks. Keep it together. So I just want to invite the board members to give their little package. There'll be a little food over there while we finish off this exchange. You can get something to hold you up until dinner. Okay.
David?
So, Alan, go ahead.
Hey, actually, first, questions, pretty quick. Is there any kind of hard copy, written copy of the video, your presentation?
Not complete, because I didn't do what I did last time. I wrote this over the period of 48 hours.
This isn't going to work if board members are talking and they're the mic. We're not going to bring on version. I want to ask all the board members, if they're going to talk, to move the mic away from them.
An abridged version, but not everything.
Can we get an abridged version tomorrow, if possible?
If I can get on the internet, sure.
Okay, maybe send it to us electronically.
Sure, give me an email, that's fine.
Great. Then I actually want to talk about something very concerning to the staff that I'm elected to represent. You mentioned the implementation of Spanish language program. This is the second question, will be a follow-up to this. Can you say a little bit more about what the immediate plans are with Spanish National Spanish Language Program?
Well, we're going to roll. It's what we're waiting for now is a budget. The proposal that was presented to the programming committee, which I actually have it here, is for I believe they're going to produce an hour show, but most of the stations are going to air most likely half hour because it's being produced in 2 half-hour segments. There's going to be participation from news directors and various producers around the country. It looks to me similar in its structure to FSRN, totally in Spanish, but it appears to have a more of a through line to it than FSRN in terms of, you know, what the story structure and its relationship to the programming as a whole. Weekly staff meetings of an editorial committee. There's a kind of a 6-page proposal which has actually been distributed to us, and I'm surprised you actually don't have it, but Armando has it, and I'm sure he could provide it to you.
It's possible that it could be provided to the board.
I don't see a problem with that. It's not a top secret document.
Okay, yeah, I suppose that's great. It's just that I know that there were a lot of bugs that were being worked out as that was moving forward, and I just want to make clear, because I do know that as the KPFK staff rep, people come to me and say this a lot. They're very happy about it moving forward, but there are a lot of people at the KPFK staff level concerned that it will be an open participatory structure.
Well, we are too, and so are the other station managers. That is part of their, you know, in a sense, their litmus test for the show, is that it has to be through an ongoing consultation with a variety of producers around the country. That's a given, and that's the only basis on which the operations group was willing to accept it.
Thank you, and thank you, Chair.
Olivia, and then Bob and Ray.
How long before the format goes to an hour? Because I know that that's what was discussed a year ago when we passed the resolution here at the board. And at that time, there seemed to be consensus, including from management, that it would be an hour. So clearly it's been decided. It's been cut down to half an hour. So what is the plan to extend it to an hour?
Yeah, a review after 3 months. But I'd have to look back to see whether it was actually more than that. It's kind of a 3 month, 6 month review type of situation. But don't hold me to that exactly, because I don't have it in front of me, but I know that there's a review after a limited period of time. But my understanding is that they are producing an hour, but they're in half hour segments. The expansion to an hour is at this point a local option, and as I said earlier, it's not a must carry situation. So we were trying to get all the stations to buy in, and we could only get them to buy into a half hour.
But all five are doing
that's
half.
Well, I can't speak for KPFA because of the management situation. We're going to have to go back to them. The other four, yes.
So that 3 months would coincide then with our next four.
Excuse
meeting,
me.
So that's perfect.
The motion was weekday, not hourly. It's a weekday. It was a daily program. It didn't specify time. You're saying it now 1 hour weekly, and that wasn't the motion.
No, I know. I'm not speaking to the motion. I said discussions at the time that we passed the motion, that the motion was passed, and subsequent.
Is it weekly or daily?
Yeah, half hour. Am I right about this? Half hour. You're producing an hour, but we're only committing to a half hour at this point, right? And what was the rollout to an hour? I can't remember. 3 months or 6 months?
3 months.
3 months. That's what she's proposing. But let's see the budget. You know, it's going to be possible.
Bob.
I'll go after Ray.
Well, thank you. I like a lot of what you said. I'm pleasantly surprised that the Spanish language program is moving forward, because initially there was some lack of interest maybe, and some maybe conflict in terms of perception of whether I would move toward the network. So this is good news. And I'm hoping that this is a model for similar exploration of bringing common views and issues together. You're saying that outside of the funding issues, the other program issues and so on have been pretty much resolved?
As far as I'm concerned, yeah. And we had, who do we have in the room? We had four of the five stations in the room. So, yeah, as far as those four stations are concerned, yes, it is resolved in principle. And the fifth station, well, that's, as I explained to you, it's a problem of working within a kind of a difficult management structure. And I'm going to have to go back and, you know, sell it.
Yeah. Well, I have a maybe difficult question that I'm compelled to ask it. There was a statement made earlier focusing WBAI and alleged threatening behavior vis-a-vis the station interim manager. It occurred to me almost immediately that it did happen, as suggested, that you'll be the first one to be appraised on such behavior.
You're talking about the comments that were made earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
By staff.
I have been from time to time.
So, but this was very specific, what appeared to be a level of an acceptable imposition disturbing behavior.
Well, I mean, actually,
my question to you is, yeah. Because the first question that came to me is that, well, wasn't that brought to you? If there was an operating ability to resolve it locally, and if so, what did happen?
Well, no, I think if I recall what was said, is that people were talking about, you know, accounts going back quite a period of time, and And so, no, I have to tell you that nothing has been brought to me of that that approaches that level within the last 60 days. I mean, I've heard about arguments, but, you know, but I actually asked, you know, whether it rose to the level of, you know, a physically intimidating behavior, and I haven't been told that within the last 60 days. Now, and I haven't been presented with, you know, whatever the file information is that had been collected over a period of 2 years.
Excuse me, I want to talk about stuff about workplace intimidation or harassment.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because if anything ever comes to legal actions, then anything that's said here becomes part of that. So we'll do that in executive session if we're going to talk about it.
Thank you.
Bob and I talked about this already because Rip and AC have not spoken yet.
I wanted to ask about the delivery for the program. Right now, is it going to be satellite delivery? And I know that maybe these things aren't set in stone, and I knew that a national program coordinator is going to work on that. But what do you have in mind right now for delivery of that show?
Well, I'm not really sure. I got to be perfectly honest with how it's going to be done. I have to defer that to you.
Okay.
AC?
Yeah, we're going to do it through that. First thing.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to answer that now? We are going to, Eden has two times on the agenda. Yeah, why don't you do it as part of what you're talking about? Because she's going to talk about what they're doing at KPFK around the whole problem now. AC?
Yes. First of all, I want to commend you for a very insightful speech. So I want to commend you for a very insightful speech. I agree with Alan that it would be nice if we had that on every station. I thought it was a very insightful in many ways. And I want to commend you on that. The other thing I wanted to bring out, though, was that we had a great deal of experience in the 2004 election that relates to this situation here. As a veteran, I'm a member of the veterans group in the Civil War, and also we had a rough time dealing with the SWPO veterans, mainly because we did not have a publicity strategy. And I don't know whether you have given consideration to PR person to really project this network in the sense that I know we've been talking about programs and so forth, but still, like what happened here today in Los Angeles, one of the most serious marches that's taken place, and as I understand from Don, it may be the largest in the city, but who knows about it beyond what we have to rely on the commercial media to get that word out. Nobody knows that Pacifica Board adjourned its meeting to go and join that effort. So I'd like for some projection of Pacifica in that regard, and I'd like for this particular event that we participated in to be around and go out around the nation, at least in our network.
You're right, Pacifica doesn't have a PR strategy, doesn't have PR staff, and I, frankly, with all the other budget competitions going on, it's unlikely that we will. I did mention in the report that I want to put together the people who are good at this sort of thing together into a group, to work on developing, you know, a strategy amongst themselves. So I want to try to do it with existing staff through a kind of a committee process, and I think we can make some progress. A more positive spin to our own activities would help a bit, sending out positive messages. I do interviews around the country. I'm trying to, you know, develop a more positive image for the network through the kinds of, you know, contacts I make with the media. And as far as, other, you know, ongoing PR, you know, press releases and that sort of thing, if I can get out from under the old business, then I might be able to spend a little time doing it. Unfortunately, right now, you know, it falls to the bottom of the list, and I don't know when that's going to change. I got to be honest with you.
And speaking of which, that's what happens to our business during the course of the day. I don't think we have any more time for this right now. We want to give adequate time to the next items.